CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. Today we're talking to Dr. Scott Swartzwelder, a professor of psychiatry, psychology, and neuroscience at Duke University. And we're talking about the teenage brain and his book, What Are They Thinking? I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today on Fired Up with CJ. You can find this interview after the show and more interviews just like this on FiredUpWithCJ.com. And I want to welcome back CJ and Dr. Scott.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So you remember that video in my high school? We had this video where it was this person, and he cracks these eggs, two eggs in a frying pan, yep. And he's like, this is your brain on drugs. And I remember being in high school and like, ha, ha, that's so funny. and this is trying to dissuade us from smoking pot. And today, the kind of drugs and the imagination our kids use for getting high are mind-blowing. So here are the things that from Scott's book that kind of shocked me. So, you know, people are taking their friends Ritalin and Adderall. Is that what it's called, Scott?
Adderall.
Uh-huh. Adderall prescriptions, I guess you get for ADD. And they're taking it for, I don't know, for getting a rush. And they're taking cold medicines, and they're chugging that down, like dextromethorphan. Mm-hmm. And they're chugging that down for a buzz. And then they're taking things that are sold over the counter. This kind of stuff, I know ecstasy used to be sold over the counter. I assume it's not anymore. But there's a plant from the mint family, salvia. Am I pronouncing that right?
Salvia, yeah.
Salvia, that is sold legally in some states. I mean, this makes parents crazy, these kind of things. Because, how do we keep up with all the imaginative ways that our kids are using to get high? That's kind of sad and alarming. So Dr. Scott Swartzwelder is going to be talking to us about really what happens with your brain on drugs and to give some advice for parents that are concerned about their kids and drug use. So welcome back, Scott.
Thank you.
So I know you have two daughters, is that, or do you have teens?
I have
yourself?
Two daughters and a son.
Two daughters and a son. So when you do your research, which I know is focused on this one area, what are the things that you're scared about as a parent that you think this kind of thing is terrifying and you run home and tell your kids and you're like, whatever you do, don't do these things?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of those, but before even getting there, I think the way you introduced this is important, and emphasizing that, you know, there are always going to be drugs out there. There are always going to be new drugs out there, and kids are always going to find a way to get their hands on them. So, mm-hmm. As a parent, you know, I think it's most advisable not to, not to worry so much about trying to keep up with every single possibility that a teenager might be involved in, but rather to spend your time communicating with your child about, you know, what some of these drugs do in general and why the brain is in a vulnerable position during adolescence. In some ways the brain is very resilient during that time, but in some ways it's also very vulnerable. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, and it turns out that there are a number of drugs that have far more powerful effects during adolescence than they do during adulthood. And so I think it's important for kids really just to know the simple fact that, for better or worse, like it or not, their brains are going to be more greatly impacted by some of these drugs during their adolescence than they will be later in life. As a general principle, that's important. Now, you asked about, what drugs scare me. Well, you know, obviously the drugs that are most scary for most people are the ones that are likely to kill you in one sitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inhalants, will do that.
Is inhalant like Coke? Is that an example?
No. I don't mean, no, that's glad you clarified. Inhalant like a volatile solvent, like sniffing glue. or those kinds of things, which a lot of people do, you know, and it's extremely dangerous. But the drugs that really worry me are drugs that we know to be neurotoxic. That is, the ones we know can really damage the brain. And those include ecstasy, which can damage neurons, and actually, one of the drugs that worries me most of all is alcohol, because it's so ubiquitous. It's out there. Alcohol, it can damage brain cells. Not like when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you used to tell every drink you have, you kill 10,000 brain cells. Well, it's not that simple, right? And that's not true. But it can. And it can kill people if you just drink enough of it in one sitting. But the thing about alcohol that worries me most, given what we know now, is that alcohol is one of those drugs that has in some ways far more powerful effects in the adolescent brain than in the adult brain. So when I talk to people about drugs, when I talk to young people about drugs, I tell them, look, there are some drugs that you absolutely shouldn't, do, like ecstasy or inhalants or spice and somebody's over-the-counter, synthetic cannabinoids, so-called. But the drug that's probably going to be most in your kid's face and is going to have a much more powerful impact on their brain than it will later in their life is alcohol.
Okay, what's the powerful effect that it's going to have? So imagine I'm your daughter. I'm like, so I don't care. I have lots of brain cells to spare.
That's a great question. I've asked that all the time.
What's the powerful effect? My roommate used to have the survival of the fittest brain cell. She's like, I'm just going to have this one freaking amazing brain cell that's left after all my drinking. This is a Duke student. This is how we think as Dukies.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, right?
Okay.
Because cells rely on other cells to make functional circuits. So when you start trimming cells away, and it's not part of that normal developmental process we were talking about before, then you can really compromise function. And remember, while that brain is sculpting itself into its final configuration, like we were discussing, it is fairly easy to nudge that trajectory of development off its natural course, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
brain is doing a lot of work to wire itself appropriately for success in the adult world. When you start doing stuff to that brain that messes around with the way neurons work and the way they connect with each other, you run a great risk of changing that trajectory of development in a way which is going to be maladaptive rather than adaptive for the future. And alcohol, for example, does have very strong effects, particularly on regions of the brain that have to do with learning and memory. And we were talking about memory before as well. One of the things that we know that alcohol does far more powerfully in the adolescent brain than in the adult brain is inhibit the ability of neural circuits, of brain circuits, to store new memory. Now, it does that in adults, too, but it does it at far lower doses in adolescents. That's one of the most striking differences that we've seen in our work, is that the adolescent brain is just much more sensitive to the memory-impairing effects of alcohol, and that seems to go forward. That is, if a kid drinks a lot of alcohol during adolescence, they may well be compromising their memory function down the line in adulthood.
Wow. I know, but kids, unfortunately, kids are drinking. So, I mean, and I would love to hear the conversation at your household. So we're going to have to come back, and I want to hear what you tell your teenage girls about the powerful effects and in a teenage way so that they actually listen. We're going to talk about that and video games when we come back. Thank you so much. So we have Dr. Scott Swaltzwelder, author of What Are They Thinking? And we're going to be talking. I absolutely have to hear the conversation that you have with your daughters about this. And then I want to talk about video games. We'll be right back.